Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. The crisis in North Carolina's mental health system continues as local communities struggle with state budget cuts that make it hard to provide the services that families need, and state hospitals are still understaffed and overcrowded. Deborah Dehoff with the North Carolina chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness joins us now with the latest. Well, thanks for being back with us on News and Views.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
There's a lot to talk about in the world of mental health. Where do you think we are? We've certainly heard a lot of, there are constantly meetings at the General Assembly. There's sort of disturbing news about the state budget. But how would you assess overall where we are now before we get into some specifics? How are you feeling about our direction?
I think we're all feeling really scared and nervous about the economy. I feel like we were moving towards a little bit of a period of more stability. We were getting a handle on community support. Things were settling down. And then, boom, the bottom dropped out of the economy. And I think that I think that the cuts that were made to mental health last year were really disproportionate to what they should have been. Everybody had to take cuts. We all understand that. But it has put yet another huge burden on mental health services.
There's a report that's just in draft stages now about the gaps in coverage and the discrepancies in not just services, but even geography. And people who have a mental illness who live in one end of the state have a much different experience at the other end. Is that your experience? And what should we do about that?
That really is my experience. And it's really discouraging because I think one of the goals of reform was from Murphy to Manteo that everything should be, that people should have access to the same set of services. NAMI North Carolina did turn in a paper to the division for the study that's being done on gaps. And we really believe that some of the biggest gaps are things like housing. We've poured money into crisis services, which is understandable. You read in the paper about people spending 8 days in the ER, and yet housing is so important to people. And unless we discipline ourselves and save some money and put it into that, people aren't going to have sort of that core in their lives that stabilizes them. We also feel like the decriminalization activities in North Carolina, we've got to keep people out of jail. We've got to get people out of prison. We've got to concentrate on diversion efforts that work really well. There's disproportion all over the place in those sectors. And then access to medications. And unbelievably, there is a threat now to maintaining open access to medications. We've just learned about that this week. And, you know, you think about all the challenges that people with mental illness face. The cut last year, even Senator Nesbitt talked about it. And now people may have to go through a prior authorization. That's what's looming. That's the latest threat that's looming. And these are people who have a lot of counts against them, and they want to recover. They want to live a good, productive life. And unfortunately, if they can't get their medication needs met and are forced to take something that isn't as effective in their own body, then that's yet one more strike against them. So, yeah, we're very concerned about the discrepancies and the challenges that just keep coming.
Let's talk a little bit more about the housing. Why is that so crucial in this whole reform effort?
There should be access to inpatient beds wherever you live. Absolutely. And there hasn't been. So I applaud the state in working on that. But also, we've created a lot of mobile crisis teams, a lot of facility-based crisis programs. Those are like firehouse models. You have to fund it even if nobody's there, because really, people don't have crises all the time. Hopefully, they won't have many crises at all if they have access to their medications and get good services. But they always need a place to live. And I'm concerned that there continue to be people coming out of the state psych hospitals, and they're still, some are still being discharged to homeless shelters. I've looked at the data. It has come down. We should applaud the division for that. But the problem is they're still discharging some to homeless shelters, and we need to put money into housing. We have that marvelous Housing 400 program, which is we give subsidies and we encourage private housing people to build more housing or renovate housing. That's a fabulous program. It's won awards. But there's just not enough of it.
So
we need
works,
to put money there. We know what works.
You mentioned earlier that we have a problem with people who have mental illness who are in our prison system. I know some people still refer to the prison system as the largest mental health institution in North Carolina. I know NAMI is trying to work more on that. And tell us about that. And what can we do? How do we get these people out of a prison environment into a place where they're actually helped with their disease?
Yeah. Well, the first step is don't let them get to prison. You know, divert them from being arrested and take them to treatment, which is the crisis intervention team model with police officer training. And what we need to do within the prisons is make sure that their mental health treatment needs are met. And NAMI is working on that, as well as the Commission of Mental Health has a task force that's assigned to working on that. And that's a slow-moving process, but we're really hoping that that will change the rules forever for those who are in prison will get adequate mental health treatment. And I think what we need to do then is work on post-on reentry programs.
As we're talking, a report, the head of the fiscal research branch, or the chief economist, just came out with his latest revenue figures and shows that despite collecting all this money from corporations who hadn't paid their taxes, which I think a lot of people thought would solve the problem, we're now $35 million behind, you know, no matter what, and that's growing. The session's a few months away. What can we do, or what should happen in the short session? Are you worried that we're going to go down the same road and actually make more cuts to programs that are already dramatically underfunded?
Well, of course I'm worried. It's a scary number to hear. I guess I do feel like crises can, if you use them right, can bring out the best, and you can start questioning why you've done certain things a certain way, why you've maybe spent more in institutions and maybe haven't fully funded community programs. I do think we have some opportunities, although I'm also scared to death. One of the bright shining stars, I think, is peer support. And that's a service that is not terribly expensive. It's a paraprofessional level service where you hire people who are comfortable in their recovery. And if you think about the impact on our nation that AA has had, I mean, it's huge. It has just been one of the most effective models, and it's using people in recovery. So this is a new service that, thankfully, the General Assembly had the foresight to fund. I think it's going to be a very, really a quintessential cost-effective. It won't cost much, and it'll be extremely effective. It'll aid in recovery, getting people jobs. You know, when you think about what really helps you in life, if you're a person living with mental illness and you've come out of just being diagnosed and just being in a state hospital, you think your life is over. You're scared. It's awful. And to connect with somebody who has lived through that and come out on the other side and maybe has gone on to work and have a meaningful life, that means everything. And that's what we've done in North Carolina. We've created this new definition. So I put a lot of hopes into that. I hope that people will listen to Senator Nesbitt and remember that we went too far last year, that we'll continue to look at our tax structure base. There are probably some more corporate loopholes left. I think there's a lot of debate about service taxes, hard for Americans to change, but I think we need to look at a balanced approach. We need to look at a variety of new revenues plus belt tightening. And if we put the money in the right places, I think that's what a good fiscal crisis can actually force you to do. But it's hard.
Well, let's hope that our lawmakers follow that advice. And thanks for being with us, as always, and bringing us up to date. Thanks for being here.
Okay. Thank you so much.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.